Good morning and welcome to the Crawford Stewardship Podcast. I am your host, Joseph Childs, and today will be a solo episode, so it's just going to be me. We're going to talk a little bit about the kind of the best of 2025 with Crawford Stewardship Project and what we've accomplished through the year and some other things that we're looking forward to in 2026. You are listening to the Crawford Stewardship Podcast on WDRT 91.9 FM, radio from the Driftless. You can find this podcast as well as many others on WDRT.org. So like I said, today it's just me, no guests, but we're going to go over, since it's the end of the year, we're going to go over a little bit of stuff that we've done with CSP this year and some things looking forward to 2026 and plans for CSP's programming and hopefully some new stuff developing in the community. To start us off, I'd like to talk a little bit about the feel-good stuff. Oftentimes with CSP work, it can be some controversial stuff where we're pushing for a little bit more oversight and regulation on large farms. And the other stuff, we try to do education and promotion of sustainable agriculture and just getting everyone involved in decision-making process and really getting home to the community and the youth about what it means to protect our natural resources for the future. So myself in the working lands program this year, I was able to attend county fairs and classroom demonstrations with multiple different schools in the area. One event was the Crawford County Youth Conservation Days. So we got to go down to Sugar Creek Bible Camp, and I presented on grazing, and we got to educate about 200. Fourth through seventh graders for the day, and I thought it was kind of cool to be able to do that because I was actually a student there. They got to go to that place as a fifth grader at North Crawford, and I vividly remember that day going through and learning about trapping and sustainable farming, and the coolest thing that every kid loves every year is the fish shocking that the DNR do down there. So it's a really cool thing that I was able to kind of bring that full circle to where I was a participant in it as a child, and then now I get to go down there every year and demonstrate for these kids what it means to be a responsible farmer and why animal impact such as grazing is extremely important in our communities. One of my favorite activities that I have during the presentations for the younger kids that are attending the Youth Conservation Days is I play a little game where I challenge them to name a job or an occupation or a business in the community that has absolutely nothing to do with farming. And I'm undefeated so far. I may stretch the rules a little bit and kind of make some stuff up as far as how they're connected. The connections get kind of loose, but it really does drive the point home to the kids that even if you aren't a farmer in the community or you aren't a business that directly supplies farmers or buys from them, that your lives are often connected to farming and there's no really way to break that connection because everybody has to eat, and that's kind of my fallback cop-out answer. If they say an occupation that I can't really relate back to farming, I always say that everyone has to eat. So that's my favorite activity that I do with the kids, and it usually gets a pretty good stir out of them and everyone starts participating around then. I was not the only representative from CSP that was invited to present at Crawford County Youth Conservation Day. Forrest Yonke, one of our program's coordinators, who does a lot with the karst education, he was able to bring the groundwater model that CSP was lucky enough to receive through a grant and a very generous donation through UW Stevens Point. Forrest presented to the same group of kids that I did. We had eight different groups and about a half hour with each group. And the groundwater model got quite a bit of usage this year, which is great to see. They're not cheap things. They're not meant to just sit on a shelf and be looked at. They're meant to use and to demonstrate. And honestly, all ages are really fascinated with this when we take it to the fair and other events. But Forrest was able to show the groundwater model to the kids and hand out some rocks, which I know the kids always like, and educate them how our groundwater can be impacted by activities that are on the surface, be it spreading manure, spreading salt, rainwater running off of fields, and even what happens when that either pollutants or our water gets down to our wells and how that can affect our neighbors, even if we're not right next door to them. So it's really cool to be able to reach the youth of the county and the community. I think there were 6 different schools represented at the Crawford County Youth Conservation Day. So a really great day, and so glad that we got to come back for the second year, and we definitely plan on going back next year as well. So following the trend of kind of fun stuff that we got to do this year, and ways that I, you know, really enjoy working for CSP because I get to do a lot of the stuff that I love and interact with the community that I live in, I was able to host a couple of custom grazing workshops. So a lot of our education is around grazing itself and, you know, how to graze. And through Great River Grazers, we talk a lot about, you know, how farmers can do the on-the-ground training or on-the-ground practice of rotary grazing and what that means for our communities. We did see kind of a gap in the kind of financial side of it, or the business side of it. You know, how does someone start a business that is in rotary grazing and make a living? So that's something that is extremely important to me, obviously, because I'd like to be a grazer long term. And I see that as something that if we're going to bring back some small farms in the area, that is going to be one of the avenues for bringing back small family farms, is learning how to graze and graze properly and to figure out the markets for grazing, because we can't operate at economies of scale. At least I can't, and a lot of the folks in my generation aren't able to, you know, go out and purchase a couple hundred acres at a time and fence it and then buy the cattle to fill that acreage. So we have to find some niches, and we've got to be pretty clever and use our imagination on how to break into the market. So that was what the UW Extension entrepreneurship series was about, and that was what I took part in. One presentation was down in Prairie du Chien, and the other one was in Gays Mills. And there are a few attendees, you know, a handful of attendees for each one, but they were extremely interested folks that wanted to get into grazing. Either they had land that they would like to have someone else graze on, and they were wondering what the economics looked like of it, or they were grazers that were looking into expanding their business onto rented land, or just people that were interested in getting in the business as a whole that haven't had any experience grazing, and they're trying to plan out, you know, what they would need for a startup loan or what kind of capital they would need to start their own business. So it was really fun to do that, and it was a little weird at first to think of me as an expert or someone that should be giving advice, just because I'm pretty early on in my career as a custom grazer, but it seems like this is something that other folks are interested in, so anyone with a little bit of experience is definitely of value to those folks. So kind of bounce back to the karst part of our educational stuff that we do here at CSP. We had a really fun karst exploration this year, and we did it a little differently. In the past, we've had kind of a motorcade of vehicles that have almost looked like a funeral procession going down the road with 30 or 40 vehicles in tow on some, you know, small county roads. So this year, we thought it might be worthwhile to invest in a bus, kind of a fan bus, if you will, and we were able to go to the Hogsback Prairie and learn about, you know, how the Kickapoo River used to go through there and what it means for the geology in the area, and just showing that things have changed over the millennia. And this was hosted by CSP but facilitated by Eric Carson, the state geologist, and was a really informational event. I'm not a huge geology nerd, but I actually really enjoyed this event, and I know the 40 or 50 or so people that came to this were really engrossed into the conversation, and I learned a lot of things that I had no idea living in this area for my entire life. I didn't know about, you know, Glacial Lake, Wisconsin, and Eric had actually done a lot of research on that and showed that the Wisconsin River used to actually flow in the opposite direction, and I thought that was kind of cool. Just, when I get out on the river, I kind of think of it a little bit different now and imagine what it was back in the day when that was flowing in the opposite direction and had a huge lake in the middle of Wisconsin that eventually, you know, shaped the Mississippi River into what it is today. So with the karst exploration being such a huge hit, we are absolutely bringing it back next year and hoping to have even more people, and hopefully we have to actually get a second bus, which would be kind of cool. If you attended it this year, it won't be the same. Year over year, we visit different areas. Like last year in 2024, we visited a place where I actually rent to graze cattle. It has, you know, lots of springs on it, and we got to learn about how springs are formed and what makes this land so apt to, you know, making springs where they're just popping out everywhere. Like this specific property has three different springs popping out of it. So it was really cool to learn why this place is special and why these water features aren't actually super prevalent throughout the rest of the state. And we're really lucky to live here in the Driftless area. With springs in mind, we published for the 16th year our annual water quality monitoring report, which is kind of the cornerstone of our citizen science and our, you know, scientific approach to water quality monitoring. Our program director there, Omar Rue, did an excellent job coordinating with lots of different volunteers, including a handful of student volunteers that are monitoring streams in Crawford County. And with our program, we tend to focus more on areas of concern, so areas that are surrounding potential polluting sites. You know, we have been instrumental in getting streams listed on the impaired status with the DNR, which is extremely important because there are increased regulations where there are streams that are listed as impaired, and we've also established this baseline, you know, water quality values, so that if stuff does happen to these streams in the future, we can go back and point at the fact that, you know, they weren't polluted before this happened. So if they're polluted after, there must be something at that turning point that is causing that. And though it may not be as glamorous as, you know, going out and presenting to a bunch of students, and it's not quite as you know, photo friendly, but it is an extremely important part of our CSP programming. And it's kind of the backbone of how we are approaching, you know, some common sense regulations in the area, and how we get listened to at, you know, bigger tables when we start talking about state level regulation and even county level. You really have to back up what you're saying with scientific data, and through that program, we were able to do such a thing. Alongside surface water quality monitoring, such as the report that we published, we're also getting the Dawes Group, or the Driftless Area Water Study, back together, to where we have secured funding for 400 private well tests in Crawford, Vernon, and Richland counties, which is incredible. This is a huge, huge win for private well monitoring, really. There's a lot of people in the county, in the surrounding counties, as well as Crawford, that just don't know if their water is good to drink or not, or if they do have some potential hazards in their water, or even if it's not, you know, there's nothing in there. It's just really nice to have that peace of mind that, you know, you've got your well test. You know that the water that you're cooking with and bathing with and drinking and feeding to your kids and your animals is safe to drink. I know it's something that I never had thought of before working with CSP. And now that I know that this is something that is offered quite often, actually, this isn't the first time that CSP has worked with county officials and public health to get well tests done. And it's really nice that we can offer that for free to folks, because even though it's not a lot of money, there are folks out there that are, you know, they've got other ways to spend that money that they could pay for a well test. So now we're able to offer that for free. So we're trying to lower the bar as much as we possibly can so that we can generate some data that shows, you know, how good the water is, the groundwater is in Crawford County, and making sure that our neighbors and our community members feel safe when they do turn on that tap to take a bath or to cook supper or to, you know, feed their animals. So to round out the kind of the fun aspects of what we're doing here at CSP, the Great River Grazers, this was my first year as kind of getting introduced to what it takes to facilitate and organize this. And if you're not familiar with what the Great River Grazers are, it's a pasture walk group, a peer-to-peer learning group or education group that has been in operation for over 30 years now. It was started, the founding members, I believe, were Vance Haugen, Don Bolin, and Doug Spanny, and I'm sure there were some other folks at that original meeting. This was a group that was started around the farm crisis, and they noticed that, You know, grazing was a way that folks could stay on the land. It was a way to cut your expenses, and sure, you might take a hit on productivity, but your expense, the expense cuts that you made from switching to a regular, you know, more conventional, or I hate to say traditional, because grazing is traditional as you can get, but a more conventional style raising of herbivores to a grazing system where you're managing them very intensively. You're moving them usually every day or every 2 to 3 days. And so that started out 30 some years ago, and we're still going strong. And this was the first year where I was really able to step in and help out a little bit and get, you know, get introduced to the all the folks that are hosting Pasture Walks and learn from a brilliant individual in Vance Haugen how this thing is ran. And as obviously grazing is something that is very important to me, and I believe will be very important to our community, and our especially our farm community, that if we're going to make a comeback, that's one thing that is going to be kind of leading the charge is, you know, educating and promoting grazing. So we had 12 pasture walks this year, and a couple of them were kind of special ones where we got to do some bird-friendly grazing stuff at Rod Ofte's and had an excellent dinner down there. And we were able to talk with some really, really cool people like Jim Munch, who is way into the financing side of it. So if you're a business-minded person, that's an excellent pasture walk to come to. And that's kind of the spirit of Great River Grazers is, yes, there are some experts in the field, but a lot of these people are just community members that have found a niche and found a way to be successful at this. And they're continuing to push forward doing it, and they're more than willing to help out the next generation. And honestly, that is what I think is the coolest thing about a group like Great River Grazers or any really true, honest peer-to-peer network, is that folks aren't competing with you. They realize that a rising tide raises all ships, and they want to help out. They're like eager to help out the next generation and to help out their neighbors, because they realize that just because your neighbor's doing well doesn't mean you have to do poorly. So stepping into, I don't want to say a leadership role, but a more responsibility within the organization was a really fun thing that I was able to do today, and I believe is a really, really good fit with Crawford Stewardship Project, is what we are trying to do is promote, you know, small sustainable farming or medium-sized sustainable farming, just whatever we can do to bring back that small-town agricultural feel that, you know, even me as a 30-year-old person, I miss from when I was 10 to 12 years old. It seems like in the last 10 to 20 years, we've kind of lost that aspect of our farming communities in the area. So that was probably the highlight of my season this year with the grazing season, was being able to help host and facilitate these pasture walks. So with CSP, there's kind of two sides to the coin. There's a lot of stuff where, you know, I get to have fun and, you know, do the stuff like Great River Grazers and hosting workshops and presenting in front of classes. And that's one side that we really enjoy doing here at CSP. And another side that is a little more serious, and we address issues that come up in our community, and we try to get folks involved and educated about it, and really most of the time it's just informed about it. There's, you know, even if you're not an expert on a lot of things, like we are not anything special here at CSP. I would say, like, I've got a business degree. I don't have any sort of special higher learning that would make me an expert, but just being informed and kind of putting our ear to the ground and making sure that when we do hear things, we get the word out to lots of other people, because believe it or not, in our community there are people with some extremely niche skill sets that are really important to hear from when these larger issues come up. And one of those things was the high capacity transmission line, the 765 kilovolt transmission line that is proposed by Dairyland Power, that would cut through Crawford and Vernon and Richland counties. There's a couple different routes proposed, but the one that is kind of the most popular and we're seeing again and again and makes the most quote-unquote sense to follow would be down through Bell Center and Gaze Mills, Soldiers Grove area. And, you know, that's cutting right through the heart of the community that I live in and a lot of folks that listen to this radio station live in. So, you know, when we first heard of that, it was, you know, a little bit shocking, and we kind of spun our tires for a little while and like, how do we address this situation? And we tried to, you know, think of something on how do we, what do we do as CSP, you know, a small organization taking on a large transcontinental transmission line, essentially. And, you know, we went back to what we are very good at, and that is just informing and educating the public and bringing folks together that we think should be heard from. So landowners and smaller power distribution companies or organizations. And we were able to get quite a few people together, and we were actually able to somewhat organize a small group of neighbors around this issue that were really, really passionate about it. And that is, I believe, the strong suit of CSP is when something like this happens, we don't just think we have to take it on all by ourselves. It is a community issue, so the community should be the ones that are, you know, bringing up the questions and concerns surrounding it. So that was something that when it first came up was a little bit daunting, but then we, once you break it down into a more simpler form and just get back to our roots of informing the community, it, we were able to have a large impact on that, and it shows because our website has gone up, our hits to our website has gone up by 200% since the transmission line had come in, and we had posted some different resources on there that were, you know, just informational. It was, here's some questions that folks are asking us, and, you know, here are the folks that you should probably reach out to in order to try and get those questions answered. So that was a really cool moment in time this year where we felt as if there was a very daunting task in front of us, but we were able to rally some folks around and really get some expertise brought in and from folks that live right here in the community. So the next, probably the most time-consuming thing and the most important thing in my eyes that we've done on that protecting side, you know, it's great to enjoy the natural community around you and enjoy where you live, but if you truly enjoy it, that means sometimes you might have to stand up and be unpopular for a little bit or talk about things that are a little bit controversial, and we view that as an important part in the decision-making process. I mean, I don't think there's anyone listening to this station right now that can say that they've never had some sort of you know, tough conversation within their family or their friends group or their life at work or whatever your walk of life is. You're going to have these tough conversations, and avoiding them means that you're not at the table when the decision gets made. So I believe that's another strength that CSP has, is we are willing to kind of run towards that a little bit and engage the conversation. And eventually it comes out to where, you know, we do have people that agree on the larger issues, and it just seems that we have a little bit of disagreements in the details sometimes. So once we sit down and kind of hammer that out, it seems like we've got some common ground that we can fall back on. So sorry to kind of end off on such a heavy note there, but that is something that I believe is extremely important that we've done this year. And some of the other things are more fun and whimsical, and I really enjoy doing that, and I hope to see more of you listeners out there at some of these events. But if you're going to have the fun and whimsical stuff that we get to do, there's often some more important, you know, somewhat controversial things we have to do in order to protect the stuff that we love to enjoy. So I appreciate you guys listening to the Crawford Stewardship Podcast. I've been your host, Joseph Childs, and you're listening to WDRT 91.9 FM, radio from the Driftless. You can find this episode and other archival episodes on WDRT.org. Thanks. Bye.